From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank talked with philosopher of biology and intelligent design theorist Paul Nelson. Let's now join Hank as he introduces Dr. Nelson.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, the podcast committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet directly to your ears. Today, a very, very fascinating podcast. And I'll start by pointing out that Johannes Kepler said that science is the process of thinking God's thoughts after him. And my greatest desire, said Kepler, is that I may perceive the God who I find everywhere in the external world. I once had the intention of becoming, a theologian, but now I see how God is, by my endeavors, also glorified in astronomy. For the heavens declare the glory of God. Today, four centuries after Kepler, the splendor of the universe continues to captivate us, at least those who are in touch with the grandeur of the universe in which our pale blue dot, it has been called, this pale blue dot of life resides. Earth is located in the Milky Way galaxy, a galaxy replete with hundreds of billions of stars. And the Milky Way is just a speck in the observable universe, where there might well be as many as 2 trillion of them, 2 trillion galaxies that collectively boast more than 1 billion trillion stars, more stars than grains of sand on Earth by a factor of at least 10 to 1. And yet, despite the undeniable reality that within the trillions of galaxies, our Earth is a privileged planet. It has been described by no less a luminary than Carl Sagan as an insignificant planet of a humdrum star lost in a galaxy, tucked away in some forgotten corner of the universe, and our posturing, our perceived privileged position is, it's but a dark delusion. Well, to talk about all of that and more, I have one of my all-time favorite guests. He's appeared many, many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and he has also appeared on Hank Unplugged. His name, Dr. Paul Nelson. If you have been following me, you know all about Dr. Paul Nelson. He studied evolutionary theory and philosophy of science at the University of Chicago, where he received his PhD. His doctoral dissertation examined Darwinian universal common descent. He is, of course, a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute and an adjunct professor in the Master of Arts program in science in religion at Biola University. A number of my kids went there. Paul is featured in many of Illustra Media's films. I've been promoting those films from the very, very start. I love that organization. And the most recent of those films is called The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God. Essentially, The Call of the Cosmos begins with 2 conflicting images of reality. On the one hand, you have the perspective of the Apollo 8 astronauts who were overwhelmed by a revelation of the greatness of God. But on the other, you have Carl Sagan. His paradigm, which is echoed by celebrity scientists today like Bill Nye, the science guy, we are just a speck of sand. We're really nothing in the cosmic scheme of things. We're an unremarkable star, just another speck. A speck on a speck, orbiting a speck among other specks amongst still other specks in the middle of specklessness, said Bill Nye, and he's just echoing what Carl Sagan said I am insignificant. In essence, I suck. Well, there's a completely different perspective on all of that given to you in The Call of the Cosmos. And The Call of the Cosmos, like most Illustra media films, feature none other than Dr. Paul Nelson, who is my guest today. And Paul, as always, it is just great to have you on the podcast.
I love to be here, and I love the work of your organization. And I love the fact that you like these movies because your enthusiasm for them helps them to have a much wider audience. And then they end up doing the job that they need to do of persuasion and providing good information about the universe that God made. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here as well. Talk about the purpose and the significance of this film, because quite frankly, I've watched every one of these films that Illustra puts out, and I love them all. You and I have talked about this, but they speak without preaching. The Call of the Cosmos, for some reason or other, just captured my imagination like few other things ever have. You know, when you start to look at the magnitude of the cosmos, and so often we don't think about that, we immediately, intuitively know that there is a cosmos maker.
I couldn't agree more. And there are so many places in the Bible where God tells us, my majesty, my creativity, my scale is shown to you, my creatures, by the universe that I made. And David recognized this. As a young man on the hills of ancient Israel, with no light pollution, right? There's not sodium vapor streetlights throwing up their beams to obscure what he sees the Milky Way every night, right? And lying on his back there with the sheep, God is speaking to him, and we see that in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. So one of the things that I've become increasingly convinced of, as I've been in this debate now 40 years, this origins debate, it's a long time, that God did everything he could to show his authorship of nature in the things that he made. Biological things and the cosmic splendor. You know, he stretches out the heavens like a canopy. So the film, in 58 minutes, tries to convey that to the audience, that the majesty of the heavens is a clear signal from our Creator to us.
I don't know how to posit this next comment, but let me just try. I just got a diagnosis from my doctor that I'm now in remission.
Oh, praise God.
And I've been battling cancer for 20 months. And so finally I heard the word remission and I didn't know how to process it. So I went out and I took a walk outside and I looked at the sky and I saw the painting. It was as though God had finger painted the sky. And I was looking at that and in the midst of knowing that God is intimately involved in the details of my life, still sometimes, Paul, I forget that. And so I was there and I was looking at the sky and thinking, how could anyone possibly imagine that there isn't a creator God? And that film, The Call of the Cosmos, played no insignificant part in that because I had just watched the film and you watch the film and I mean, there's no question after watching the film, and as I said, it doesn't preach at you, but when you watch the film, you know beyond the peradventure of a doubt, there's a God that created the cosmos, and therefore he is intimately involved in me as a creation, as the crowning jewel of his creation.
Yes, and you know, the Greeks had this notion of the macrocosmos and the microcosmos. And at both ends of the spectrum, in the enormous scale, the breathtaking, almost unimaginable scale of the observable physical universe, you know, we zoom all the way out, as the film does. It takes you on an imaginary voyage from our planet right out through the solar system, through what's called the local group, which are first the Milky Way, then the local group, which is the immediate cluster of galaxies closest to the Milky Way, then the Virgo cluster, and then on out all the way to the edge of the light, right? And then it comes back in, zooms back in, all the way down to the level of subatomic particles, which the Greeks called the microcosmos. At every point along that scale, as you go in all the way down to subatomic particles and then back out, God's handiwork is there. And I think it must be a terrible state of mind to have to, on a daily basis, which is what most atheists and skeptics have to do, on a daily basis to have to step on or suppress that signal that's there. And actually, there's good evidence from psychology that young children, 4, 5, 6 years old, they naturally ask the question, who made this, right? Because they're built to ask that question. The signal that God put in nature elicits quite naturally that question, well, who made this? Who made all of this? And to have to suppress that daily, I'll tell you, the skeptics and atheists I know, some of them are the most bitter and unhappy people because they're stepping on that signal daily. And I think that's a problem.
We'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with philosopher Paul Nelson in just a few moments. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, is a film that you can watch again and again, using it as a tool to touch the lives of others in a truly transformational way. Whether it be for a believer or skeptic, it's hard to imagine a more meaningful gift as we head into the Christmas season. To receive a copy of The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, for yourself or as a gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Did you know that with each passing year, it's easier to find atheists in university philosophy departments than in physics departments? The reason is that physicists are increasingly unable to explain away the unfathomable intelligence that is becoming evident as science unfolds the exquisite fine-tuning of the universe. But atheist philosophers, often unburdened by the discoveries of science, are more inclined to dismiss discoveries that fail to fit a worldview allowing them to live as masters of the universe. The stunning film The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a supernatural designer, and it's time that atheists and agnostics take notice. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank and Dr. Nelson in their conversation.
Paul, one of the most stunning parts of the film is Robert Jastrow. There's a long quote by him, but in essence, the fact that science, from his perspective, points inexorably to a beginning, and of course, that's indisputable now in the scientific community, that led him to a conundrum in which he knew that there must be, if there is a beginning, there has to be a beginner, there has to be a creator, but yet he says he could not accept that. And then in the film, you have this little postscript. Robert Jastrow, who was the founder of NASA's Goddard Space Institute, the director of Mount Wilson Observatory, well, he died in 2008. So you see him speaking on film, wrestling with the fact that he knew there had to be a beginner, but he simply would not accept that.
I think that section of the film will be the most surprising, perhaps even shocking to the audience, because Jastrow is being so brutally honest about his own inability to come to grips with what science, not religion, what science was telling him, which is that if you run the expansion of the universe backwards in time, you come to a point where you come to a singularity. And the way Jastrow puts it is, he says, we scientists have been climbing up this mountain for hundreds of years, and when we got to the top, we found the theologians there. And he says, I'm a materialist. I mean, he says it right there on film. I'm a materialist. I don't want this to be true. I think the universe consists entirely of material substances. Yet what science is telling me is there had to be a cause that transcended the material. And then the most poignant statement, really it's heartbreaking. I mean, he's been dead for 10 years now, right? The most poignant statement is, he says, I will not find out the truth. I won't know what I'm missing within my lifetime. Almost as if to say, I know that my existence as a being will go beyond my physical death, and I will meet that cause on the other side. I'll tell you, when this film was in production, Ladd Allen, the producer at Illustri, told me that he had this footage that had never been shown. And it's incredibly precious, but it's heartbreaking at the same time. The candor, the just total honesty of Jastrow. Here's where science has led me, and I can't take the next step.
It's sort of an example of first you determine your paradigm, and then your paradigm determines you.
Oh, perfectly. And what's so interesting is Jastrow is aware. He's aware that he is being limited by his paradigm. So I want to believe, I want to hope that at some point before his death, he was able to take that next step. We don't have any public record of that, but I want to believe that he was able to say, you know what, I'm going to be able at some point while I'm still alive to step beyond my paradigm and recognize that the universe did have a cause that was not a physical cause, perfectly real, but it was a mind. It wasn't a material thing.
We so often think about the fact that God speaks to us through the majesty of his word, and so he does. He speaks through us through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which is a monumental event in history that simply cannot be fathomed. But God speaks to us as well, and this is the part that we so often forget as Christians, and Illustri has been underscoring. God speaks to us through the majesty of the world, and this is what those films help underscore. The fact that God has another book, the book of nature, and if we stop and we just look, we know that there is a God. We know it through the magnitude of the universe in which we are, but we also know it, as you said, on a microscopic scale. So you think about, and this is spoken of in the film as well, you think about a grain of sand, and the complexity of that is simply beyond comprehension.
Yes, and I find it very striking when I look at the history of Christianity and you go back to Jesus' time on earth, but then millennia prior to him and prior to any written revelation, there wasn't a Torah. There wasn't anything like the books of Moses, the five books of Moses when Abraham was called, or all the figures in Scripture prior to Abraham, yet God was communicating with them. Nothing like the Bible, yet there was communication between God and his creatures. And that has to be mediated through something. And I think the book of nature, as you've described it, the reality of this world needing an author, and if it's an author, it's going to be a person. It's going to be a being of sort of infinite power and scope. They knew that, right? And I think you could say they were, in a sense, morally responsible for that signal. I call it a signal that God put in nature. And I think one of the great tragedies of modern science, and by that I mean roughly the post-Darwinian period from the middle of the 19th century until today, is that science is seen as inherently naturalistic. And one of the things the film brings out, I think, very elegantly, is that if you go and look at science prior to Darwin, so Newton, Kepler, Galileo, and so forth, they saw no inherent conflict between investigating the world that God made and knowing that there was a God. In fact, that was really the only thing that made sense to them. You alluded to Kepler at the beginning of our discussion. Kepler is, for me, a great hero because he really did want to be a theologian, and he sort of stumbled into astronomy and discovered the laws of planetary motion and helped to lay the foundation for Newtonian mechanics. But he, as an astronomer, when you read Kepler, he'll be describing, for instance, the motion of Mars and Venus, and then he'll break into a hymn of praise to the Creator. To him, it was perfectly natural that these things should be married together. And at the point when he made his greatest discoveries, he just praises God in just the most open, almost evangelical language, saying, thank you for making this universe and putting it in front of me so that I could figure out one tiny part of what you did. And I think if modern science could recover its patrimony, the pre-Darwinian understanding that all these streams of truth have the same headwater. Sorry, that's a mixed metaphor, a patrimony and headwater, but you understand what I'm saying. Science would be much better off.
Yeah, think about, maybe for a moment, as an educator yourself, how your students, and I see this all the time as a father of 12 children, the kids' heads are in the tablets. They're on the iPhones and the iPad. They're on the screen.
Yep.
And if we would just elevate our gaze to the stars and think about what I alluded to earlier, a universe that has, on the low end of the scale, a billion trillion stars, stars that outnumber the grains of sand by a factor of 10 to 1. Or what I was just alluding to, the fact that a single grain of sand, and I think this is communicated in the film, a single grain of sand contains approximately 500 billion billion individual atoms, one grain of sand, which means that there are more atoms in a grain than there are total grains of sand on Earth, or for that matter, stars in a billion Milky Way galaxies. And now they're saying there could be as many as 2 trillion.
It's wonderful. And as they do in their other films, Illustra tells the story in such a way that you could put your feet up, make a bowl of popcorn, and just let this information wash over you. It's so beautifully presented. And the numbers are carefully explained how they come to these conclusions. And I think just this point of the physical scale, early in the film, William Lane Craig, the theologian and philosopher, says, you know, there is a message just in the physical scale of the universe. Newton understood this. In his scolium, the general scolium to the Principia, his great masterwork, he says, why is the universe so big? And he said, well, the problem is, if the stars were close together, they would collapse on each other because of their gravity. So the maker of the universe put them at sufficient distances from each other that we could see them and yet not have them collapse gravitationally on each other. So I've interacted with atheists who said, why would God make the universe so big? And my response is, he was showing off,
yeah.
Right? He was showing off. This is a creator who wants to be known. There was an amazing photograph taken, I think, by the Hubble some years ago that I was able to see full scale on a wall in Wisconsin in a corporate center there. They reproduced the whole thing. And the reason that NASA had taken the photograph is they said, let's just point Hubble at a portion of the sky that no one's looked at yet, right? And they thought they wouldn't see anything. And what happened was they saw one galaxy after another. These are not individual stars. These are galaxies. And you look and you see here's a spiral galaxy. Here's another kind of galaxy. And they just cover the wall, 30 feet high, 70 feet across. God did not hide his handiwork. He did everything he could to say, hey, I'm out here, I made this. And the majesty that we see is there for you to understand so that ultimately you can know me.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To listen to this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with philosopher Paul Nelson in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift Illustra Media's remarkable film, The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
You have to see it to believe it. The breathtaking new film, The Call of the Cosmos, takes you to the edge of the observable universe. Watching the universe unfold before your eyes will evoke a sense of wonder and leave you convinced that a creator is responsible for the exquisite fine-tuning of the cosmos. The Call of the Cosmos, What the Universe Reveals About God, provides incontestable evidence of a designer. If you're already a believer, watching this film will affirm your faith in the Alpha and Omega, while also offering an overwhelming evangelistic opportunity to convince the skeptic in your life that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. To receive your copy of The Call of the Cosmos on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.